All right. Last week we talked about Call of Moses, and what was interesting to me as I was studying this passage of scripture, even as I was reading it, it had never stuck with me that Moses actually rejected the call of God. I mean, because you look at the Ten Commandments, as you know, you see that's where you come as a little child. You grow up watching the Ten Commandments and everything. And but in the scripture, Moses actually rejected the call of God. He said thanks, but no thanks. And when we consider what Moses went through, and that we've also been called by God, the scripture says that the Old Testament was written that we might not do the things that they did. Amen.
Amen.
So we don't reject the call of God, because as Moses was called, and so many other, Abraham was called, Noah was, all these people were called. We don't reject the call of God, and that's what we learn primarily through it. And we have that admonition in the New Testament as well. We'll get to that as we make application of the scripture to our lives. So let me start with where we would have left off moving forward in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Moses has been hemming and hawing and making excuses as to why. He said, well, suppose the people don't listen to me, and God gave him signs to perform. And then Moses says, well, you know, I'm not a good speaker. You know, you reveal yourself to me, but I'm the one, I'm the problem. I can't speak real well, so I don't want to go. And the Lord said to Moses, who has made man's mouth?
Amen. Amen.
Well, I'll say, so what's so beautiful about this is that God isn't letting Moses out of the call. When God calls you, he doesn't let you go. Jesus said in John chapter, 17? He said, God, he was praying to his father. He said, Father, all those you have given me, I have kept, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But all the ones that God, the father, gave to Jesus, Jesus said, I kept them. I haven't let any of them go. Well, here, Moses is not getting away. God says, who has made man's mouth? Moses, I know you can't talk. I know you got problems. Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? God knows about every limitation that every person has. Now, he isn't saying that he made them deaf. That's just the outcome of sin in the earth. But God says God made all people in their condition that they find themselves. Yes, he created them all. Have not I the Lord? He says, now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. So Moses is making excuses. God is eliminating excuses. So we understand the mute are limited by their ability to speak. The deaf are limited by their inability to hear. The blind are limited by their inability to see. But God has made them all. God has made them all, and God who made them all is able to overcome all their limitations.
Praise the Lord.
That we have limitations. He knows that we have inabilities, but he still called us. Which is more important, our inability or God's call?
God's call
is more important.
Amen.
So we can't make excuses. If God is with you in your limitation or inability, you have everything you need to overcome your inability. Everything you need. The most important thing here is God said, I will be with your mouth. I will be with your mouth. That is so beautiful. Because when God said that to Moses in calling Moses, he says it to us in calling us. See? So, and we'll look at it in a second. Here, as was the case with Moses' physical limitation, it was also the case with the Apostle Paul. So we'll go and look at a scripture in the New Testament where Paul exposes this. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says, you know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first, and my trial which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me.
Mm-hmm.
So Bible scholars believe that Paul had a physical infirmity that perhaps had to do with his eyes, such that would cause people to be sympathetic toward him and wanting to help him. And if possible, they could renew his eyes themselves. But no, they couldn't. But Paul mm-hmm. with this weakness in his own flesh. Well,
mm-hmm.
we all have weaknesses.
You know, yes, yes.
Some of us have a leg too long or, you know, bulging eyes or, I don't know, people have all kinds of infirmities, physical infirmities that they can't get over, that limits them in some way. Well, mm-hmm. Paul had his own. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling.
Mm-hmm.
Says he was weak.
Mm-hmm.
We see Paul as next to Jesus. We see Paul as not being able to do any wrong. He was perfect. No, no, he wasn't. Apostle Paul knew what it was to be weak. Even his adversaries, Paul would write, said, for his letters, they say, are weighty. Speaking of Paul, his letters are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. And his speech contemptible. In other words, though the scripture says Paul was the chief speaker between Barnabas and Paul, Paul was not one who had this great oratory. When he opened up, he could have, he preached a lot, but it doesn't mean that he had great oratory. He preached, why? Because God called him to preach.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean he was the best speaker. People said his speech is contemptible. Well, I don't want to listen to him. He looks weak. How would Paul say today? People look at him and say, oh, he's a weakling. Can't follow him. So if Moses had problems, we see in the New Testament, Paul had his own set of problems, with which he could have said, well, you know, Lord, I'm not going to. Acts chapter 9, Jesus appears to him and calls him to preach the gospel, and Paul could have hemmed and hawed and said, well, you know, I don't really think I don't want to do that. Paul knew better. So
amen.
Moses wasn't the only one who couldn't speak well. We see here, Paul didn't, he looked weak and his speech was contemptible. Hmm? Wow. I'm also pleased to observe that the weakness here was not moral weakness, but physical weakness. Was physical weakness that was ascribed to Paul and to Moses. Moses was using to make excuses. Well, what does the scripture say? 1 Corinthians 1:26 tells us, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many strong or mighty are called, or noble, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. I love, this is so beautiful. When God calls us, he doesn't call us because we're strong, beautiful, respectable. No, he calls us because we are the weak things, the scripture says. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. He chooses weak things. So the limitations or the inabilities that we have, God said, yeah, you're the one I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Next time you feeling uppity and feeling like, man, ain't I great and everything, just remember this scripture. Yeah, remember, God chose the weak things, the foolish things of the world. Talk about put a pin in your bubble right quick. That'll humble us and call
Amen.
Us, keep it real.
Amen.
He choose us because I'm some great orator or no. God chose, look, he chose this boy. I would tremble when I would get up. I was so nervous. We would get up and sing. I would be literally shaking like a leaf on a tree. God said, yep, that's the one. Yes, that's the one I want. The one, he can't do nothing. Look at him. He's shaking like a leaf. And God said, yeah, I'm going to show myself through that. God chooses the foolish things of the world and the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. My goodness, Jesus. The things which are despised, God has chosen.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do, though? Oh, no, we don't choose, though. No. No, we despise the things that are despised. We want to look up to the, oh, look at that person over there. That great, this, that, and the other. I'm thinking, No, we need to read the book. Read the book. Nah. Have our minds. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are for this purpose. Here's the reason why God does it. That no flesh should glory in his presence.
His presence. Amen.
Could it be that God chose Moses to go tell Pharaoh to speak? Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go because Moses wasn't good at talking? Why? So that God could be glorified and not Moses?
Mm-hmm.
He chose the one who wasn't good at speaking to speak. And Moses is saying, no, I'm not good at speaking. I don't want to go. I can't do that. God's like, you're the exact one I want. But Moses was having big problems with that. Right? So look again at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom. In other words, he couldn't speak real well. I didn't come to you with the, I'm not a great orator. I didn't come with that. As I proclaim to you the testimony about God. Paul says, I didn't go to school for, I didn't do well at rhetoric. I'm not the best at that. That's not who I am. And so not only did Paul have limitations, but God fixed it so that Paul would have to rely on the Lord in fulfilling the call of God upon his life. And God did that so that for Paul's own good. All right, we'll see it here. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. Paul wasn't good at speaking, but God gave him many revelations.
Amen.
The word of God, right? He says, because of these so many revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, we don't know what that thorn is. But he says it was in his flesh. We don't know what the thorn is, but we know it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest I be exalted above measure. God didn't want him to get too big for his britches. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
What if we have an inability or a limitation that keeps us from getting too big for our britches?
Mm-hmm.
Paul, he said, I'm not going to take it away. I would say to us, no, I'm not going to take it away. Lord, why you make me like this? I don't like this. And God, and all you meet with is silence. And you go through your life. You go through your life with that weakness. Well, Paul said concerning this thing, verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord. Paul's on his face, oh, crying out, oh, God, 3 times he pleaded with the Lord that it might depart from me, he says. But the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect
in weakness.
Yeah, it is. His strength is made. Listen, where you weak? Where am I weak? All that very weakness, we trying to strengthen it up. Get rid of this. I don't want to be this way anymore. And the more we try, we just weak as we can be. God saying, yeah, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You know what that means? Guess what? You're going to stay weak. You're going to stay weak. Well, Moses is like, well, I don't care for that. I'm not with that. I can't talk good, and because I can't talk good, I don't want to go. So just No, just forget it all. I don't. When our weakness shows forth his strength, we're in the right place. Let me say it again.
Amen.
When our weakness shows forth his strength, we're in the right place. Yeah. This is what Paul says. Therefore, because God said that his strength is made perfect in my weakness, Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in weaknesses. Paul says, I will boast in my weakness, in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Amen.
There it is. Now remember, Paul had this revealed to him, but prior to that revelation, he didn't see himself as strong when he was weak. He saw himself as one. I'm going to get this thing off of me. I don't want to be this way. But when God showed him that his strength is made perfect in weakness, Paul said, okay, I'll be glad in my weakness. You know, I have a trait of sickle cell. I've had it all my life because my parents had it. And all through school, you know, the coaches wanted me to play football. They wanted me to play basketball. They wanted me to play all of these sports. Well, when you have two traits of sickle cell were killing people years ago. When you have a trait of sickle cell, your red blood cells are not round. They're shaped like a sickle. And they don't process oxygen. So when I would go and run a play, I come to the sideline, I'm breathing so hard and heavy, I can't even catch my breath. Everybody else running on the field like gazelles. So they'd be like, what's wrong with me? That's a sickle cell. I couldn't play. Can't play today. I still have that trait of sickle cell. That's a weakness. That's a physical infirmity that I have. But, well, you can either be mad about it, but it ain't changing. I'm like, okay, I'll do something else. But in my weakness, God says, I'll show myself strong. And so I've had to endure that, but I believe that in all things that Christ will be made strong in my weakness, right? We all have weaknesses, right?
Amen.
Well, so the revelation then becomes that God works through a person who has physical or even emotional limitations. He'll work through them for his own glory. They say Charles Spurgeon, they call him the Prince of Preachers. He said he went into such bouts of depression, he would want to kill himself. You think to yourself, well, what is the preacher doing wrestling with depression? I don't know, but he did. But when he came out of depression, he wrote some of his best sermons. Man who wrestled with depression. And some people will say, well, how can he be a godly man? He's wrestling with depression. Listen, people just have circumstances we don't have answers to.
Amen.
You serve God in the midst of your weakness. You do the best you can do, which is, although it is weak, God says, I'm going to be glorified because I'm strong. And God certainly was glorified through his preaching. All right. So this applies to every one of us. Every one of us has weakness like this. But that being said, as we go back to Moses, Moses shrugs off God's remedy for him. God said, I will be with you. But listen at what Moses says. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. In other words, Moses said, no, I'm not going. Send somebody else. I don't know who you're going to send. But send somebody else. I'm not going. So it appears that Moses thought more of his inability to speak than God's ability to use him in spite of it. And he's like, no, send someone else. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. As you're reading this, you say to yourself, okay, Moses can't speak well. God chooses him. Aaron can speak well, but God doesn't choose him. Beautiful. So the question becomes, why didn't God choose Aaron? He can speak well. Because it's not about your ability. When God calls us, he doesn't call us based upon our ability. I know that's hard for us to get. Because when we choose a basketball team, we say, I want that guy who can shoot well right there. I want this guy who can shoot good. This guy can dunk. This guy has 3-point range. This guy can set screen. You know, that's the way we do it. It's not how God does it. This is beautiful. So it's not about ability. It's about God's choice. And Moses' obedience. Right? God's choice is Moses' obedience. When God calls us, no matter what our ability, we obey. So it's about, the call of God is about whom God chooses, not about ability. We look at ability. God's not concerned with ability. Because God can talk through a donkey.
Yes, he can.
And he can have a dog come in and go, bow wow, and you can hear his voice. Look here. That's who God is. So he's not calling us for our ability. He's calling us to be obedient.
Amen.
Be obedient. Moses was obedient. He was obedient and went after God laid it out for him. But remember Aaron had some character flaws as well. Aaron, when they pressured him to make a golden calf, a false god, Aaron did it. Yeah, I mean, that could be one of the reasons why God didn't call Aaron. Because of Aaron's character that
we
because as we read the text, one might wonder, well, why didn't God, God said Aaron can speak well, but God didn't choose him. Right? He says, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take the rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Now, what's interesting about the balance of this scripture that we just read is that God, he called Moses, but he altered the means. He included Aaron in it, but his primary call was upon Moses. In other words, when God calls us, we see things, you know, perhaps that, like what Moses did. Moses made an alteration, if you will, to the call. The Lord made an alteration because of Moses' defiance about going. He made it such that Moses would go.
Mm-hmm.
And so God makes changes in our lives so that we could fulfill the call upon our lives. In other words, God wasn't so strict where he said, okay, well, you go on. No. God used Aaron to do what he would have accomplished solely through Moses. He used Aaron to do what he would have accomplished solely through Moses. So Moses' unwillingness to go, God changed some things around this so that he would go. Shows us how much God wanted Moses to go and altered the means by which he would fulfill the call of God upon his life. How gracious God was to Moses.
Amen.
Gracious. Amen. God. Amen. I mean, because even though Moses rejected the call of God, God did not reject Moses.
Amen.
And sometimes we can get it in our thing stuck in our crawl too. Like we're not going to do something, but God doesn't reject us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. His grace was upon Moses and his grace is upon us. Now, let's get to the New Testament where Peter says in 2 Peter 1, verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call. God has called us. to make your call an election. New King James, or the King James Version says, make sure you make your calling an election sure. The fact that God has called us, you be even more diligent. And so if we track with what happened with Moses, God called Moses. Moses eventually obeyed and went. God has called us, and then we are to be diligent to make our calling and election, God's choosing us, make it sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Do what things? We'll get there in a second. How to make our calling and election sure. For so an interest will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So whereas Moses was called, again by review, Moses was called to go and to free God's people in Egypt, to tell Pharaoh to let the people go. He was called to do something. You and I are called to someone. We are called to Jesus Christ, to his everlasting kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Peter's emphasis, as well as Paul's and the writers of the New Testament, is make sure you obey that call. Okay? Because there's two parts to it. God has his part, we have ours. God calls, we obey. That's the way it works. God calls, we obey. And Moses obeyed for his own good. And God was angry with Moses for Moses' own good.
Amen.
Because your life is dependent on this, right? So God has called us into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to. And we remember that. Why is that so powerful? That's so all-encompassing? Because of 1 John 5:11, he who has this has life.
Amen.
That's why God has called us to the fellowship of his son. He's called us into the fellowship of his son. He's called us into life, and that eternal life. Right? So, the writers of the New Testament, what we see it in Hebrews, we see it in the epistles, that we do not reject the call of God. Because if we reject the call of God, we reject life itself. So how are we to do this? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1, Peter says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace and peace be yours. God has given us grace and a peace in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Where did this knowledge come from? Did it come from us?
No.
No, never. The knowledge of God never comes from human beings. Ever, ever. It always comes from God. It always, if God doesn't reveal himself to you, Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except the Father who sent me draw him. If Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. It is always, always, always God revealing his knowledge, revealing the knowledge of himself to us. So this abundant, this grace and peace has come through the knowledge of God toward us. Therefore, we cannot boast about the knowledge that we have. We never boast about that. So he says, he goes on. Peter says, his divine power has given us everything. God is a giving God. He's always gospel of the world that he gave. He is always giving. Giving. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The God who called Moses, who called Abraham, he's called us. He's called us to be in fellowship with his son, who is eternal life. Amen. Now, so he's called us by his own glory and goodness. The scripture says, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused through evil desires. This is the NIV. So we're called by God's own glory and goodness. Let me share this. What does that look like? Paul said this to the Romans, or in Romans 2:4, or do you despise the riches of his goodness? Says here, we are called by his own glory and goodness. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Do you know how we repented? It's not because we got some great idea, a light bulb went off, and we found we were sinners. No, the goodness of God. It was the goodness Amen. Of God that convinced us that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Amen. And we
Amen.
And turn from our sin and come to God. All this that we are in Christ Jesus is because of him. That's why we praise him morning, noon, and night. That's why we magnify his great name. Psalm 107 reads this way. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. These people are about to die.
Yeah.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And then the psalmist makes this declaration, all that men would give thanks to the Lord for
his goodness.
Goodness. His goodness. It was his goodness that saved them out of their distresses. It was his goodness that delivered them from their destructions. So he delivered them by his goodness. So when Peter is saying here, he called us by his own glory and goodness. That's what these references refer to. But he goes on, and this is what Peter's arguing. Since God has done all this for us, then we should busy ourselves making our call and having been chosen by God, making it sure. God's done all of this through his grace, his abundance of the knowledge of God, and through Jesus Christ, his divine power has given us. He has given us these great and precious promises. God has done all of this so that we might. Paul says, and this should be the outcome. This should be what we should do for this very reason, that God has done all this. Make every effort. Busy ourselves. Make every effort now. Because God has called us. Whereas Moses was not, he was making every effort to get out of it. He was making every effort not to go, not to fulfill the call of God. Peter says, make every effort. Look at this. To add to your faith, goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. Now, all of these, what we find is that when you're walking with God, and when you're serving God, all of these qualities of what it means to know God comes into your life. It's the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Self-control.
Amen.
Age where there is no self-control. Perseverance, where you don't give up on the gospel and the call of God upon your life. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Mm-hmm. And to brotherly kindness, love. And what I would like to point out to you is this. All of these qualities, all of the things that Peter says make every effort for you to get, none of it's tangible. None of it's stuff. None of it is things.
Right.
All of these have to do with God's character and his nature. And if we're adding to our faith a goodness and to goodness, knowledge of who? Of God. Self-control, all of these things, Peter says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what is going on in our lives as we walk with God and walk with the Spirit, as the call of God, which is to know him, to be his, as that is fulfilled in our lives. All of these qualities begin to show themselves in our lives. I don't care what type of house you live in. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care what brand of shoes you wear or hat you, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. God help us. None of this matters.
Amen.
But if you love your brother, but if there's goodness exuding from your life, if there's self-control, I care about those things. Brotherly kindness and love. Peter says, if all of these things are in you are abounding, then you are not doing what Moses did temporarily, but ultimately fulfilled all of his life. You're not rejecting the call. You are receiving the call and seeking to fulfill the call. So let's not reject the call of God as Moses did. Let us pursue it with all of our to the glory of God, that God might receive the glory, having called us according to the scriptures by his own glory and goodness. Amen?
Amen.
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 Just in time. Glory to God. All right. Any questions or comments on the teaching?
No, wonderful teaching.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again. We thank you for your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your kindness that is poured out on your people day after day after day without fail. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, Lord, as you are so faithful to us, Lord, help us to be faithful toward you. Oh, Lord, that we, having been called by God, Lord, would fulfill the call, Lord, and remain in fellowship with our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, throughout all of our days living here in fear. Oh, God, bless your people. Oh, God, bring to pass your word, Lord. May it bring glory to your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. Is there anything we need to hear before we go?
Amen. Praise
God. All right. Well, the Lord again bless you. Again, we'll see you next week. If we don't see you Tuesday, we'll see you next week right back here at 10 a.m.
Amen. God bless.
God bless you all.
Amen. God bless.